Romans chapter number 12. We'll begin verse number 1 and read through the end of verse number 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray once again. Father, we come, we ask that you would bless the time that we have together this morning, that you would, Father, enable us to hear and understand, that you enable us to, Father, hear and rejoice, that you enable us to hear and glorify your name this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've already alluded to the world and its own maxims this morning as we were discussing some things from John chapter 17. That's what it lives by. The world lives by its own thoughts, its own maxims, its own ideas, and they do that, we said last week, apart from the Word of God. But our thinking, as we go from being conformed to being transformed, our thinking, our ideas, our practice, our everything is guided from above by the revelation which we have in God's Word alone. We are in a battle daily. I hope we realize that. We're in a battle daily when it comes to this sort of thought that we have here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. We are in a battle daily not to be conformed to the way this world thinks, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We spoke this morning about taking those things that we hear, those things that, I mean, the world will seek to give you advice. People around you who are outside of Christ, people around you who do not live their lives by God's Word, do not give weight or consideration to God's Word, do not really give any thought, but rather suppress the truth of God, will seek to give you advice. Who are they to give you, Christian, advice when it comes to these things? Why should we listen to the things that the world says, you know, that are contrary? We shouldn't. They're contrary to the Word of God. We live by God's Word, by His Word alone. But we are in a battle daily. We said that if it were not possible for us to be conformed into the world's way of thinking, that we would not be told here, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's why I'm saying that we're in a battle daily. As we navigate through this life, we do not take our direction from this world. We take our direction from the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Where's our light? Where's what's going to lighten our pathway so that we know where we should take the next step, so that we know that we're not going to step into something that we don't need to step into. Psalm 19, verse 8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right." The statutes of the world are not always right. And what do they say? A clock can be right at least two times a day. So sometimes they can hit on something. Or what's some of the other things that we hear? A blind, you know, squirrel or blind pig, you know, can find a, you know, acorn every once in a while. But the statutes of the Lord are right. We don't have to wonder, is this right or is this not? No, we know this is right. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When you think about that the framework of the words, enlightening the eyes. I mean, we are enlightened by the Word of God. We are led by the Word of God. We are directed by the Word of God. It lightens our path. These things are right. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, verse 16, we've not followed cunningly devised fables. You know, these aren't things that have just been abstractly put together over the centuries into this book that we now carry. We've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father. That sounds a whole lot like what we were reading in John 17, doesn't it? Did I say 17? 16, sorry. John 16. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. So here's a light that's shining in a dark place in which we're living, a light that's shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, that same Holy Spirit which now leads, directs, guides us. We were speaking about that some this morning. Our transformation, we're talking about transformation here. This word transformation is used here, transformed. Our transformation doesn't end at conversion. So we believe upon the Lord. We repent of our sins. Our transformation does not end there. We have not simply been saved from something. We have been. We've been saved from our sins. We've also been saved to something. We've been saved to be transformed. We've been saved to be made into the image of Christ. We began fallen in Adam, but we will finish. Think about this. We began fallen in Adam, but we will finish as Christians. We will finish perfectly in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, I alluded to this verse earlier but did not quote it in our earlier time. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." Into the same image. So we see Christ, we're being changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by what operation? Well, it's by the Spirit of God. It's by the renewing of our minds. You know, where does our understanding come from? The Spirit of God. Where are these things that we know brought back to our remembrance? By the Spirit of God. So we're being changed into the same image. We're beholding the glory of the Lord. We're being changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the thing that we've said before, that we have been saved, we are being saved, we shall be saved, this is the thing that we're talking about here this morning. Philippians, Paul says, chapter 1, verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Not going to be left short, but this is going to be a continual thing that's happening in our lives, being changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? Changed from glory into glory. Till in heaven we take our place. Hymn writer had to be thinking about this verse, right? Changed from glory into glory. Till in heaven we take our place. And that verse I'm referring to is that one that we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So we see something in those verses of this concept of transformation. But we have another word in our text, don't we? We have this idea of a renewing. So transformed has to do with being changed, like we said, from glory into glory, changed into another form, changed into the form of Christ, to be transformed, to be transfigured even. You think about what Peter's alluding to. What was he alluding to? He was alluding to the fact that they were there on that mountain when they saw the transfiguration of Christ. They saw him changed from the glory that they knew into even a greater glory. So Christ's appearance was changed. It was as the definition here that I'm reading, was resplendent with divine brightness on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we have an idea of what this thought, what this concept of being transformed, transfigured has to do with. So this other word, renewing, be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. This transformation is needed in the realm of the mind, the renewing of our minds. So renewing has to do with renovation. It has to do with a complete change for the better. So it's not divorced from an idea of transformation, but this transformation has to take place first for there to be any kind of renewing. There couldn't be, I mean, somebody couldn't call us. I'll use our profession as an example. Someone could not call us and ask us to remodel something that wasn't there, right? I mean, if you're going to remodel something, there's got to be something there first. So there's a transformation that's already taken place, but there's a renewing, there's a renewal that's needed. We know these things, but we need to be reminded of them. So there's this idea of being renewed. I'll go back and use another illustration. And I've used this illustration before. But there was a time in my life, my younger adulthood life, whenever we had a business, that there were these sockets and there was these oak banisters that went into them. And my mom would continually polish those because anytime anybody touched them, it would start to tarnish again. I mean, it would tarnish over time anyway, but it seemed like right after you did it, you could, I mean, if you went by there right after it was polished and you were to put your finger on it, I mean, and if you came back by there later, I don't know how many hours would need to pass by, but you could actually see the fingerprint of that person left there. So the world's continually touching parts of your lives, and we need to be renewed. There's that polishing that needs to take place, and we're beholding. In that polishing process, we're beholding Christ, and we're being changed from glory into glory, into the image, you know, of Christ. So we must be diligent in this renewing of our minds. We've been transformed. There's been a transformation happen, certainly, but we're called to be further transformed by the renewing of our mind. There's this battle that's taking place every day. The world says something, and this was the point that we made this morning earlier. The world says something to us. How are we going to weigh that? Well, this person may have credentials. This person may be a doctor. This person may be a professor. This person may have all sorts of accolades and all sorts of letters, you know, that go along with their name and their title and that sort of thing. What are we going to do with something that a person that's educated or a person that's in that sort of position, what are we going to do with what that person says unto us? It has to be weighed. Here's the scales. I mean, they make a statement to us, but it's got to be weighed in these scales in the Word of God. How does it stand up there? We used the illustration of a snowflake in the mouth of a blast furnace. You know, is it going to dissolve the statement that they've made? Is it going to dissolve in the face of the Word of God? You know, or is there any gold there that can be gained? Is there a nugget there? You know, I don't know. But you know, we're weighing things here. We're not weighing things by, you know, what titles they may have. We're weighing things by what the Word of God says. I was just recently listening again to some things that had happened to Grace Community Church, you know, there in Sun Valley, you know, California, when the state says you're not going to meet, you're not going to do this, and they're like, okay, we're going to weigh your statement. You're the authority, but we're going to weigh your statement by the Word of God. And the Word of God says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You're trampling. I mean, how often has the government said separation church and state? You know, they have no business in that place. They have their authority, you know, ends at that line where God's authority, you know, exists. It becomes dross that gets consumed, you know, in the mouth of that blast furnace that we were talking about this morning. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing. Here's that word. We're talking about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here's this word, and renewing of. That's why we're saying that it's the work of the Spirit of God, renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it's a work in us of the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, how many people go through life and they give no regard, no thought to eternal matters? But what about you, Christian? You do. Why do you? Because the Spirit of God within you, because you've been born again. And the Spirit of God is bringing you to a place where you're being changed from glory to glory into the image, you know, of Christ. He's bringing the Word of God to bear upon our minds. We're talking about that default position this morning that we're brought back to. You know, here was that person telling me, well, as I was asking a question about that warranty, what about in this situation? Well, I don't know, but if you'll just say this, it'll be covered. And immediately what rose up against that statement was, that would be a lie. You know, so here's the Spirit of God saying, no, that's not right. That's not what God's Word says. That's not how you are to live. That's not what you've been called into. You've been called into righteousness. You've been called into holiness. You've been called into the truth. This is what our minds are to be set upon, the renewing of our mind. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. That's back to that oneness that we were talking about earlier this morning, isn't it? So we have God's Spirit within us, and the Comforter, the Spirit of God, calls us unto these things. Something similar, John 14:25-27, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Where would we be if that were not the case? What if we had just made a profession of faith? What if we had just had an initial conversion experience and then we were left unto ourselves? But that's not the case, is it? He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So God's given us his word to meditate upon, to look into, to study, to renew, to refresh our minds. We need to be in the word. We're in the world all week long. We need to be in the word. 2 Peter 1:5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. You know, we need to be renewed in our minds so that we won't be barren and we will be fruitful. So that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. So here's this renewing. Here's this remembrance. Here's this work of the Spirit of God. Peter says, I'll not be negligent. This is a work of the Spirit. I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things, though you already know them and be established. You know, you are established in the present truth, but you need to be reminded. It's that socket, that brass socket that needs to be polished. He says, though you know them and be established in the presence truth, he says, yea, I think it meet, it's right, in other words, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So, God's given us his word. God's given us the assembling of ourselves together. We're to encourage one another. We're to build one another up. We're to remind one another of things. We have the preached word to help us. Ephesians 4 says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. This is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. I think this may have been somewhere where you were thinking earlier. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the goal. This is the place we're being brought to. And I would have trouble standing up here saying these things unto you if it were not what God's word says, and it's the truth. I'd have trouble boldly declaring these things unto you if it were not the case. If they were just my thoughts, I mean, I would have given up a long time ago. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider one another. This is that gathering together. To provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. I mean, here's this renewing of our minds taking place by the exhortation of each of us towards one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, we're not walking according to the course of this world, but we're walking in newness of life. We're being transformed. That word has to do with a metamorphosis that happens, like with the caterpillar being changed into a butterfly. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, but it's that powerful. I mean, you think of how powerful a transformation that is for a caterpillar to wrap itself up in a cocoon and then be transformed. The next thing that emerges is a butterfly, something that it was not, something transformed. A metamorphosis has occurred. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I mean, there's that transformation. There's that metamorphosis. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So it's not just a life of nonconformity, because we're told not to be conformed to this world, but it's also a life of transformation. We are not to be conformed to this evil age, but our lives are being transformed, making us more and more like Christ. And because of that, you hear the heart of David, and this is in our hearts too. In Psalm 139, he says, search me, O God. Search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. James says something, you know, similar to this in James 1:25, when he says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So here we're looking at the perfect law of liberty, and we're not being just a hearer, but a doer of those things. This is this transformation, the renewing of our minds. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Renewing of our minds again. Colossians 1:27 through 29, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto also I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. This sounds kind of like Peter, the remembrance stirring us up. All, you know, similar things to what we're talking about here about being renewed in our minds. Ephesians 4:13-16, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see this building up. You see this renewing. You see this transforming. It didn't stop just at, you know, conversion. This is something that's going on, this sanctification, this regeneration, this transformation, this renewing. Our thinking is no longer centered upon the things of this world. We're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our thoughts, as I said this morning, are centered upon things like, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Our thoughts come against that which is evil, like that I was referring to earlier when talking to that person about a warranty and what would happen in this situation. And they said, "Well, I don't really know, but if you'll say this, then everything will be okay and it'll be covered under the warranty." Well, you know, things like 2 Corinthians 10:5 come to mind. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." So here's something exalting itself against the knowledge of God, and here comes the Word of God to meet it and say, "No, that is wrong. Cast it down. Pull it down. It's something that can't be left standing." The imagery that I get there in my mind when I think about that verse of Scripture is the sort of thing that God told the children of Israel when they came into the land. "Then don't leave any of these idols standing. All the groves, all the temples, tear them all down. You know, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So that work which God has begun within us battles against the muck and the mire of the things of this world that we have to trod through on a daily basis, rises up to meet it, and calls it what it is. It's evil. It's part of this evil age. It's part of being conformed to this world. So it rises up against it. And then there's that which in us, which is in us, that longs for the day when the battle will be over and this will be completed and will be presented perfect, you know, in the presence of God, and the work will be finished. I sent something out. I hope that you understood earlier this week what I was trying to say when I sent it. A lot of things going on, you know, in our world today, and causing us to want to think we need to do this, we need to do that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that, and making preparation for things that may happen, just like we talked about the fact that when a hurricane comes, you know, we go and we buy, you know, water and those things that we may have need of, because the power is going to go out and the water is going to be off, because the water, you know, plants need the power to be able to, you know, send the water to us. I mean, it keeps pressure for a little while, but eventually, you know, it goes away when we have, you know, no water, unless you live at the bottom, you know, where everything's draining down to. And that's kind of scary because it's coming back from wherever it was going to, and so you don't know what may be coming back with it. But I'm not saying that we shouldn't do some of those things. But those things can't be what rule our hearts and minds, and that we say if we don't have those things, that we cannot exist and that God cannot provide for us, and those things become gods to us. And so that's why I was saying what I said in between those verses of Scripture when I said, "Make way." It's like the herald would come through town and say, "Make way for the king." You know, in our thoughts being renewed, in my mind it's like that. Make way for the king. God's above all of these things. I'm not to live in fear of those things. If I can make preparations, great, make preparations. But those things may not be there when you need them. They may be gone. The biggest preparation is making way for the king. Make room for the king. Worship him, adore him, look unto him, you know, all your hope and your trust being in him, be led by him. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. So if I make preparations, I'm making preparations to the glory of God. The renewing of our minds says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice. "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So you see the transformation there from what we were to what we are. Being careful for nothing. That word careful, what does that mean? You just think about careful, care for, you know, being anxious for, you know, what were you saying? Yeah. Yeah, there's the fear, the anxiety, you know. Don't let those things rule you. You know, run to the Lord, the strong and mighty tower. You know, run into him. There's safety, there's security there. Run to him when fear seeks to drive your decision, seeks to drive you to do certain things. I mean, I hear Brother Conrad in my mind every time somebody says, "Well, this is a limited time offer. You need to act now." If you don't, you're going to miss out. You know, and then where are you going to be? You had the opportunity, you squandered it, you wasted it, you didn't take advantage of it, and now you're going to miss out. That's sales tactic. That's sales ploy. That's sales fodder is what it really is. If God's determined that you're going to have that blessing, you know, not acting now is not going to keep you from it. You know, if God's going to supply your needs, not acting now, because the salesman says if you don't act now, you know, you're not going to be able to take advantage of this one-time limited offer. So anytime somebody uses that sort of mentality, you know, with me, it turns me off completely. I'm like, okay, well, this isn't for me. You know, thanks, but no thanks. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. And there's a man here in our midst that used to get into ships, that the ship that he would get into before he got into it would have to be proven. You know, it would have to be taken out after it was built and constructed. It would have to be made sure that it was seaworthy. You know, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. All kind of things are going to come across in front of you. The world's going to drag all sorts of stuff across in front of you. Prove it. Is it good? Is it right? Is it just? Is it true? Is it pure? Is it worthy of my consideration? Is it worthy? Is it going to glorify God? Can I do this thing and glorify God? You know, see, we come back to those same thoughts. Good thoughts, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Again, it's back to that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Proverbs 16:3, and I'm almost done. Almost done. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Commit your works unto the Lord. And it says, thy thoughts shall be established. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Lord, I want to glorify your name in everything that I do. Your thoughts will be established along those lines. You know, your thoughts will be established. It'll go along with keeping your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues, you know, of life. So can you see something of what Paul is talking about here when he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind? You're not left to yourself in this thing. God hasn't given you this and saying, okay, you've got to do it. You know, you're on your own here. No, we have been given the Comforter. We have been given the Spirit of God. And He is busy about this. We talked about God being jealous. We don't often think about or attribute to the word jealousy as something being good. But it can be. God is jealous over us with a godly jealousy. We are His children. He is watching over us, caring for us, providing for us. What kind of a father would He be if He did not do so? And does that mean there's never going to be any difficult times? No. Does that mean that we're never going to be put into a position where we're being tested? Are we going to trust the Lord? Or are we going to pull, you know, an Abraham and Sarah and end up with an Ishmael? You know, what are we going to do? Are we trusting in Him? We say we are, and the Lord brings something across our path to show us, you know, are we really? Are we really trusting in Him? Are we simply trusting every day? You know, are we really doing that? Or are we just saying that we're doing that? Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Spirit of God's going to bring these things to our remembrance. Our thoughts are going to be established. Our thoughts are going to be in the right place. Him bringing these things to our remembrance, helping us to be what? Changed from glory into glory, helping us behold the image of Christ and be changed from glory into glory, even as into the image of Him. So these are the things that Paul wants us to understand, some of what Paul wants us to understand as we look at these. I'm sure we're just scratching the surface here, but I think we've gotten some sort of a baseline to help us to kind of understand this idea, this concept of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right. Well, let's stand and we'll go once again to the Lord in prayer. Sorry if that seemed to come out too fast. If it was coming at you too fast this morning, I don't know. I looked at the clock at one point and I'm like, okay, well, we've already gone way over where we should be before we start the message. I can tell you that if you feel like I'm speaking too fast, if you have access and you can go online to, you know, our web presence on Sermon Audio, you can actually speed up the player or slow the player down. So if you need to hear me speak more slowly, you can actually go and slow it down. Or you can, if you don't think it's fast enough, you can speed it up, which I don't know that that would be the case. But anyway, I hear Brother Conrad, stop your breakneck. He called it breakneck speed, you know. It's a tendency on my part that I have to work on. So pray for me because I can run faster perhaps than I should be running. I don't want to leave you behind. That's not my purpose. It's not my goal. Wouldn't be much of a point, would it? Not much of a point me standing here if I left you all behind. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dad, would you return thanks for us for the meal we're about to share?